everybody, what's up, guys? It's a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, I'm Solo, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Dr. Anna Marie. I'm sorry, I screwed up, guys, today. If you're listening, I was an hour and a half late to work because I have no excuse. And now T-Rex isn't here, or Ellenberger. I just got back from Canada yesterday, and I flew in. I had a layover, a six-hour layover in Vancouver. I'm all screwed up because of time. I was up late watching the UFC. New Zealand, I'm blaming it on that because I was up till 6 a.m. watching that. I got off Ambien. I finally got off Ambien, and I had an Ambien addiction, and I had to wean myself off it. And then last night, I was up till 5 o'clock in the morning preparing for this podcast, and I couldn't sleep. So I got one of those Z things that you get from the, Rite Aid. I took it, and then I just woke up. 8 hours later, I was screaming, yelling at myself. All my laundry isn't even dry. I'm supposed to drive to Vegas in 5 hours, and my stuff is completely wet. And then I was pulling in here, and I have to leave a note because I nipped someone's car in this parking lot as I was pulling in. So I have to leave a note saying I'm sorry. So now my insurance is going to go up. And I have our best guest in here right now who is listening to me like I'm looking at me like I'm a complete idiot and a complete maniac. And I have this great job. I got this great job with Fox Sports. They're paying me to talk about MMA, and I come late to a noon show. So just so you know, it's pathetic. It's completely pathetic, and I take full responsibility. It's all my fault. We have Hector Lombard and Baroni. I don't even know if Baroni knows that he's on the show today, so he might be okay. I have an angry Cuban in Hector Lombard who's probably waiting by his phone wanting to kill me. That's the last guy I want to kill me. It's just one of those things. I've had a tough week, people. Not really a tough week, but being in Calgary, I had this girl that I picked up. The girl that I like came over. We had fun. But now we're in this, like, been dating for 2 weeks, so I don't know if I should be faithful because we have no real commitment and it's only 2 weeks. And this other girl came to the show, these four girls, and then I hung out with one of them and she told me she was going to give me the best BJ ever, but she didn't. She was on her period, and I said, I have red sheets. It's totally cool. And nothing happened. So I just got teased. I got teased till 4 o'clock in the morning. And then, I don't know. It was just one of those things where, you know, women are crazy. That's the whole point of the podcast so far. Women are nuts. It was going to be, I'm rambling. But anyway, so I was up late a couple nights trying to get some booty. That didn't happen, which is good because, ladies, if a guy tells you that you're the only guy he's sleeping with, it means he's in a slump. That was a joke I wrote. And then last night I'm on Twitter posting jokes and I'm being attacked now by some guy I'm not even going to say, saying, oh, your jokes aren't funny. Great. You know what? 40,000 people like my things on Twitter. You don't. Leave me alone. Leave me alone to the people that I want to. Anyway. All right. So, Dr. Anna Maria, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast. I apologize for my state of disarray, but I had to clear my mind and get it out.
Do you feel better now?
No. I actually, that didn't even go as well as it did in my head on the way over here as I was practicing that, thinking, oh, it's okay. I'm late, but I'll make up for it by having a really funny rant. And it wasn't even that funny. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And I did not do all of those things, but I had one daughter that moved from Palo Alto to Santa Monica this week. And then right after that, 2 days later, another daughter got married.
No, congratulations.
In Las Vegas. So we had Rhonda come and be the bartender because we like to have well-qualified help. And then my other daughter's in the national games in soccer.
No way.
Yes, that's in Torrance starting today. So I dropped her off. And then we're going to pick her up. She's even going to miss the last game because she's going to fly to Las Vegas and watch her big sister win on Saturday.
She is. That's awesome. You know what? I was reading about you last night. I know about you from TV, you know, and I think you came off a lot harder on TV than you actually are in person. I could just tell that you're a real sweetheart. You've raised, what, four, like, championship daughters in some ways, correct?
I have four amazing daughters.
Four amazing daughters. Now, I don't have any kids that I know of, but let's say I do have daughters one day. What's the secret to raising a child? Have you ever thought about writing a book?
I wrote a book on judo. I wrote a book called Winning on the Ground about mat work and how to win at judo and a lot of arm bars.
What about raising dogs? I want to have a Ronda Rousey one day as a daughter.
You know, I run three companies. So in my spare time when I'm not teaching biostatistics or epidemiology or making educational games, I did think about at some point getting around to writing a book on parenting. And I really think one of the biggest things, in all seriousness, is learning to give up what you want now for what you want most. That lots of people would like to be a world champion. They'd like to get into NYU. They'd like a lot of things, but they're not willing to give up sitting on the couch watching Vampire Diaries for it.
Right. So that's the thing that you mostly instilled in your daughter. I mean, is it true, though, that you would wake Rhonda up with arm bars? That's not true, right?
No, it's completely true.
That's true. So she was sleeping, and then you put her in an arm bar, and then she woke up and had to defend it?
Yes, I would wake her up, or she'd be sitting on the couch watching TV, you know, sitting on the floor, and I would sneak up behind her and slip in a choke and say, always be ready.
That's insane.
My judo coach used to do the same thing to me. He actually was engaged to one of my very best friends, who was a bridesmaid when I married Rhonda's dad. And yeah, I would go and stay up at Jimmy and Don's house on the weekends because I was an engineer in San Diego and I was training for the world team. And yeah, 7 a.m. And I'm so not a morning person. And Jimmy would knock on the door to the guest bedroom and Don would run in and he'd say, give me 50 of those jujigatamis, which is an arm bar, right? Right and left. And I would just be like, I'm going to kill you both.
Were you ever concerned that your kid might grow up to be a serial killer or something by doing this? Like, what if it went wrong?
Well, so far they haven't.
No, so far so good. And you've done a great job of parenting. I mean, it's amazing, actually. It's amazing how close your family is too. Like how Rhonda is such a good big older sister. Is there pressure from the younger daughter though to have a daughter like Ronda Rousey? Is there like a Marsha? Is everything about Rhonda?
I don't think so. In fact, one of Julia's friends was over one time and she said it must be really great to have a famous big sister. I wish I had a famous big sister. And Julia said to her very seriously, why don't you wish you were famous yourself? And yeah, I think Julia has different interests. She likes to hang out with Rhonda because she's her big sister and she's cool. But she plays soccer. She likes that. She's a really good student. So Julia, I think, has a pretty good sense of her own self.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's remarkable. How cool of a family you have, and I really respect Rhonda. Although I have to say Rhonda was a lot easier to get to before she became this big star, as far as getting back to me on Twitter. But now is there a little bit of worry for you that fame might go to Rhonda's head a little too much, and that she might become too much of a? Because I mean, when you have people all day long telling you how great you are, and sometimes you know. There is always that fear of you see people that are fame gets to their head, they become these huge stars, and then are you a little worried about that at all?
I was worried about it more earlier. I think she's a little bit older and a little more mature now. And also one of the advantages I think she has is we do have a really close family. Like at her sister's wedding, there are about 30 people there, so it's a really small wedding. And Rhonda's bartending and nobody's saying, oh, let me get a picture with you because, you know, they're Jen's friends she met in fifth and sixth grade and her friend she met in high school and her cousin. And so it's all kind of like, well, I would like this kind of drink. So I think that's very good for her. There are times when I am not so comfortable with some of the people around all the time saying, oh, you're so great. And I told her, some of those people are just creepy. They're just polite stalkers. You should get rid of them. But she just rolls her eyes like most people do when their mother's.
No, I mean, that's, and you know, that's got to be, let's say a guy wanted to date Rhonda. Did they have to go through you first?
She's not old enough to date.
Okay. I've heard differently, but let's say a guy, seriously, because I know that there's sometimes like you have to get permission from like the father and you're the parent in the house. Let's say I wanted to go out with Rhonda. Do I have to go? Does mom have to like you?
Well, she would probably, all the girls, I think, if they're serious about somebody, would bring them over to the house, which I think men do too. You know, when Jennifer, the one that just got married, when they were pretty serious, you know, he bought her a plane ticket and they flew back to Vermont to meet his folks. And I think if you're serious about somebody, you want your family to like them. And if everybody in your family hates them, that's generally a clue.
That's good. That's true. That's true. Very well said. Now, you yourself were the first women's judo champion in the world, the first U.S. How does a girl get into judo back? I know how old you are. I'm not going to say how old you are.
I don't mind.
So you're 56.
55. I'm almost 56, though.
55. So back when you were in your early, I think you started at 13 years old, I was reading.
I was 12.
How do you start when you're 12 years old into judo? How does that happen?
You know, people have asked me that so many times, I should make up a really good lie.
Yeah.
But the truth is I was a short, fat little kid that wore really thick glasses and spent all my time sitting in my room, eating and reading books. And my brothers called me Stumpy because I was built like a little tree stump. And my mother said, you cannot do this your whole life. And she put me in the car and she drove to the YMCA and she opened the door and pushed me out and said, join something. And back then, that was before Title IX. So lots of sports just said, we don't have girls. And my three choices were I could do swimming, which if you're a fat little kid, you don't want to wear a swimsuit. And I could do track, which if you're a short, fat little kid, you don't really run very fast. And I could do judo, because the judo instructor allowed girls to do it. This is, you know, it's so different than today where they could say, well, we just don't allow girls in here. And he had a sister who had wanted to do it. And by the time I started, she was a black belt. So he allowed girls. And I was real short, so I was hard to get underneath and get leverage. And I was real fat, so I was hard to push over. It's like a little dorm room refrigerator, if you can imagine trying to throw one of those. So I was good at it right away. And I had three brothers, so I could fight.
Right.
So
do you wish that there was MMA now, there was a UFC now for you to join?
No, because I'm the exact opposite. I think of lots and lots of people in sports that they retire from a sport and then they go into something related to that and, you know, go into sports casting or something. And I retired from competition and went and got a PhD and specialized in applied statistics and started a group of technology companies. So it's not like if MMA had been there, I would have gone into that as a career. I mean, judo was something I liked to do. It was fun. I had a great time. And then I went and did something else.
No, it's remarkable. And I read that you went to Japan.
Yes.
When you were 18 and then became, I really was up looking at this stuff. You went to Japan and then you actually studied under this like great Japanese master judo person, right? And
that Asawa. Yeah. Which I didn't even know he was really famous. I mean, I went to Waseda University because I didn't have any money and my university had an exchange program with Japan where they basically exchanged bodies. Like two people from Washington University could go to Waseda and two people from Waseda could go to WashU. And it's a really famous school. It's kind of like the Yale of Japan. And Osawa is one of the most famous judo instructors in the world. But yeah, I was just an 18-year-old kid and it was the only place I could afford to get to. And I went there and stayed for a year because I couldn't afford to fly back and forth.
Now, are you part Native American?
Not at all. No.
Not at all.
No, my family's from Venezuela.
Venezuela.
I mean, they came. My grandparents came here before I was born.
You do this thing where you teach, you help people on like reservations.
Yes. Yeah. I ended up when I got my PhD, I was in North Dakota, and they needed somebody to do work on the reservations, and I said, I am Latina from Los Angeles. No one knows less about North Dakota Native Americans than me, and they said, you won't be prejudiced, which is true, and I met some people there and started doing grant writing. We have a company that does educational games to teach math. It's sort of like if you're going through the woods and you're attacked by wolves and you're a little kid and you can only hit a wolf about every five times. So how many arrows do you need if there's seven wolves? And if you had the wrong number of arrows, what would happen? Well, you would get eaten by wolves. And so in our game, that's what happened. Get the wrong math problem, you die. And then there's a little story that plays about the Sioux beliefs in afterlife. So you learn social studies, you learn math, and it's fun.
That's nice. You're such a nice, just a good person. Like what? I mean, do you have dead bodies somewhere or something? What's the?
You've never really pissed me off, or you wouldn't think that.
Wow, that's yeah. I could tell that you're tough. You do seem a little tough. Now you're on your third marriage. Are you still married or are you divorced?
Yes.
Okay. So is this it? Are you done getting married?
Or? Yeah, I think so. He's a pretty good guy. He has enormous patience.
Really?
Yes.
And then all the girls like him, or were they judging him at first? Or
well, no, actually it was funny because Mario was away at track camp when the girls first met him, and we came from North Dakota to visit because I had met him several times, but the girls never had because I didn't want them to, you know, after their father passed away, I didn't want him to meet this guy and they get attached to him and meet that guy and then they get attached to him. So, yeah, I was pretty serious about Dennis. So I said, well, I guess it's time for you to meet my kids. And Maria was at track camp and I could tell from the other end of the phone that she's asking Rhonda, you know, what's this guy like? And Rhonda is just a little thing and she can't speak that well. And she says, he's a keeper, Maria.
Oh, that's
nice.
He's
a real keeper.
That's nice. I like that. It's good. She Rhonda, the thing about Rhonda is that I do jokes about Rhonda all the time. I would say things like if her fight goes to the ground, so will my pants, and you know, like stuff like that. They're just jokes, you know. And she hit me up on Twitter saying, "You make me laugh all the time. Thank you." She's got a really good sense of humor.
She does.
And she, just so you know, my parents aren't on the ground when she's talking. They're just jokes. I'm a comedian. just to get to.
I understand the concept.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Now. I remember when with Misha Tate, she wouldn't shake Misha's hand, and I think that she did herself a big disservice there. I mean, obviously not, because she's in 12 movies and has her own TV show, so obviously she's still people still want to see her. Hollywood loves her. But I think that, like, I know that I coach wrestling for little kids. I've been doing it for 8 years. I coach guys and girls wrestling over in Brentwood. And, you know, and I always tell the kids, shake your opponent's hand no matter what they do. And she said that Misha insulted her family. Do you know what she's talking? What is she talking about?
I actually went out to the Ultimate Fighter show, and I told Rhonda when I was there, I will take that girl out in the parking lot and beat her ass myself. She was so rude and so disrespectful. And what they did not show, I couldn't do reality TV. I could not. I couldn't have done it for 3 weeks. I said I would have punched everybody out, including the crew, and left. And it was stuff like, do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah.
And do you ever have, like, one of them, like, just pick on you and do stuff and do stuff and do stuff, and then, you know, you do something like punch him back,
and,
they're like, Mom, and you get in trouble?
Yeah, of course.
Imagine doing that for 12 weeks.
Right.
And they only show the part where you punch them. And it was pretty much like that, that Misha would constantly be doing stuff to needle Rhonda, and then they wouldn't show any of that part, and they'd show Rhonda saying, fuck you, Misha. And it was just really, really set up to be that way. And I told her, I'll punch her out myself. You know, you want something? I mean, we make computer games. I'm sure I could talk to one of our animators, and there'll be things of Misha having sex with any animal you want by tonight on YouTube. And Rhonda said, no, Mom, I gave Dana my word. I gave Dana my word that we would not, like, get any physical fist fights on the set. We wouldn't do this. And even if she doesn't keep her word, I'm keeping mine.
But what did she do to the family? Like, when she just, did she say something about you?
I think she was just constantly saying disrespectful things to people and leaving around, you know, nasty little notes and just stuff like that.
Yeah. So it did seem like that. It did seem like there was more to meet the eye. And we've had Misha on the show before, and she is very, you know, she's very stubborn and very, a little bit like, I don't want to do this, that, or the other thing. And then I could see why. I'm just saying that I could see, you know, why she, you know, I've always been a Ronda Rousey fan. I've always liked Ronda, you know, and I do feel like she was a little portrayed. But at the same time, you have to know that if someone keeps nudging you, mm-hmm. and then you nudge back, it's going to be shown. So mm-hmm. there probably was maybe a better way for her to handle the Ultimate Fighter, as far as like, because I think that she didn't come across well at all. And when I met Rhonda, and people that I know that know Rhonda say that that's not really her.
Well, like I said, from the few days that I was there, it's sort of, you could follow Mother Teresa around, all right, all day long. And at some point, Mother Teresa probably said, enough with the lepers already. Can't we just have somebody with a cold for once? And if you only showed that part and underneath showed a little thing, you know, Mother Teresa hates lepers. Think about yourself. I'm sure you're a very nice guy. But think about whatever the worst thing is you might do this week, or whatever the dumbest thing is. If somebody follows you around 24/7 and they take the 30 minutes of the worst things you do in the whole week and put them together, you can look like the biggest ass.
No, I was on Last Comic Standing, and they did that. Like, they would say things like, are you ready to have a whatever? And I'd be like, yes. And then when they showed me, they closed with a clip, it was like they just edited out me saying yes and had a think of me like very upset, and then that was the reaction. So I know exactly how reality TV works, and I know exactly what you're saying. You know, and it shows that Ronda Rousey, it just seemed like Misha and Ronda were just, that was the girl that really got her under, like, mm-hmm. with Sarah McMahon, she wasn't like that, or with, you know, Alexis, with Sarah Kaufman, she was a very good sport and very, you know, mm-hmm. so, I mean, with Alexis Davis, you don't see the same type of Ronda Rousey. It just seems that Misha Tate was the one person that really got under Ronda's skin. You know, and that's, everyone has that. Everyone has that one person that can get to you. You know I do.
Who is it?
Who gets to me? Right now it's Jeremy Botter on Twitter. For some reason, this guy, I don't even know this guy.
I don't know who it is.
Some guy who writes for Bleacher Report, which is a website that I like, but the guy keeps coming at me on Twitter for some reason. And I'm like, I don't know. He works for Fox Sports. Oh, maybe because I work for, yeah, maybe that's it. I mean, I have no idea who this guy is. All he wants to do is tell me how unfunny my jokes are and how much I suck and how much this. Now I'm like, I wrote a joke last night. Like, Ronda Rousey said it's hard to have big boobs and be a fighter, but Roy Nelson disagrees.
That's pretty funny.
Right. Ronda's mom is laughing at this, right? But he's like, that's a horrible joke. And, you know, people call me sexist or misogynist. And I'm like, really? It's like, it's gotten to the point where comedy, that's why I liked Canada. When I was in Canada, Canadians and Australians laugh at everything. They don't get offended by anything. And I understand, there are jokes that are offensive. everyone, there are, if you do a joke about 9/11, a minute after 9/11 happened, right, I'd be like, come on, I'm from New York, that's not cool. Like the Boston bombing thing, like Jeselnik, who I like Jeselnik, it was a little inappropriate. Was I offended? No, I could see how people were offended. But people are, what was I calling for his job? Like, the people are like, oh, you know, they want to go after your jobs now, especially Americans. They if you make a joke that they don't like, they don't look at the intent, which is to make someone laugh. They look at like, oh, you're sexist. It's gotten to the point where you have to clear who you're making fun of now before you make fun of. And it's ridiculous. So anyway.
Well, my answer to people like that is always, dear person on the internet whom I've never met, as much as it pains me that I have lost your respect, oh, wait, I don't care. And then I go on with life.
You're a very strong woman. I'm not as strong as you. Okay, you are an extremely strong woman. I'm a pretty strong guy. But you're a very – it takes a lot. Like, I've been doing comedy 15 years. 15 years of standing up – and I can't tell you how many times I've bombed because I've lost count. I've lost count of how many people didn't laugh. But, you know, for me, I have to just keep going, keep moving forward. I think that's the key to everything.
Right. Well, I make computer games, and always there's things that don't come out exactly the way you wanted them to, or it looked way better in my brain than it did once I programmed it, or there's stuff that you think is obvious that you should click there, but it is not obvious. I mean, everybody has that, and then you just do it again. And, you know, that whole saying where people say, oh, at the end of the day, there's another day, and you try again.
Yeah, and that's true. That's true. Now, we got to talk about Cyborg, because I know a lot of people are saying that Rhonda is ducking Cyborg. Personally, Cyborg never made the weight. You know, it shouldn't be up to the champ to go up a weight to fight the person. You know, have her make weight first. She did get caught, you know, cheating. But at the same time, let's assume that Rhonda gets past Alexis Davis, which is not going to be an easy task. The girl's a two-time black belt and a tough girl. How do you see this fight going? Do you see that Rhonda should move up? What are your thoughts on Cyborg? What do you think about Cyborg saying that Rhonda's ducking her?
Well, I'm a statistician, so I don't believe a lot in coincidence. And I noticed that within probably 48 hours after the UFC announcing they're going to do out-of-competition testing, that this Santos woman wants out of her UFC contract. And, you know, Dana White said it made no sense that she could have fought in Invicta and still kept her contract. She could have... So to me, that was pretty much a red flag that she was still doing the drugs and she wanted out of her contract. So that you have a contract and you give it up and then you say, oh, I want to fight her. Well, why didn't you keep the contract you had? And then the other thing where she said, oh, I want to have children someday. Okay. I had four children. I had one of them while I was competing. I fought at 48 kilos.
During the actual competition, you had a kid?
I had Maria in September and I won the U.S. Open at the end of October.
Wow.
So,
did you go down four weight classes?
I actually won the U.S. Nationals and the U.S. Open at 48 kilos, and then I moved up two weight divisions and won the U.S. Open again. So that notion that you can't cut weight and it will somehow impair your ability to be a mother is absolutely false, and I can tell you that from absolute complete personal experience. What happens, and this may be more biology than you want to know, but if you have a low percentage of body fat, it's difficult to get pregnant. Because, you know, think about biologically, evolutionarily, there's a reason for that. You want to get pregnant, you go and you chow down on a few cheesecakes and you put on another, you know, 3-4% body fat and you will be able, you will start ovulating again. So no, it's completely false.
All right, go on.
So, you know, all of her reasons or, you know, non-reasons for pulling out of the UFC, for not making the weight, were totally bogus. So, you know, you got pop cheating, you quit, you got out of your contract when they announced drug testing, and then you claim Rhonda's ducking you and she should move up and wait and she should do this and she should just fight me. And nobody ever asked, why should she do all this? Why shouldn't you, the person that got out of their contract, the person that made up some bogus thing about I'll die if I make weight, you know, like I said, I cut down to 48 kilos and I'm very much not dead.
Yeah.
So... you're the one that had all these excuses. So how is she ducking you? And then she fights some woman that hasn't fought in 5 years and gets beat. And then they talk about Rhonda fighting Gina Carano, who hasn't fought.
Well, in all due respect, that girl was the best Muay Thai person in the world in a Muay Thai fight.
Right. But she hadn't fought in 5 years, correct?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I just read on the internet, so therefore it must be true, right?
I don't know. I just know that she fought the number one girl in Muay Thai, which was a mistake. I think that's a disrespect to Muay Thai. If like, look, I mean, if you're the number one person in boxing and you're an MMA person, why go fight the number one boxer in the world? It's just disrespectful to that craft, that art form, you know? But I understand what you're saying. Look, I think that I would love to see Ronda versus Cyborg. I think Ronda wins this fight, especially...
Oh, hell yes.
You know, at 135 especially. But also, I think that, you know... This is sort of same topic, different. You know, these people that take steroids or to take, like, look at Chael Sonnen, okay, perfect example of a guy who just got busted with human growth hormones and IPOs and, you know, whatever he was taking, EPO. You know, Chael Sonnen is a great fighter. And I spoke to Chael a couple nights ago. I had a long talk with Chael. Chael didn't need to take, he had been on testosterone for so long, illegally. And then when he had to get off testosterone, he flipped out. He has to fight Vitor Belfort and mentally he thought, I'm never going to be as good off testosterone. And that is, it's the mental aspect of the sport. I remember in high school wrestling, there was a kid I beat 12-3, and then the next week he beat me 12-3. Was I better? No, it's so mental. MMA is so mental. And when you start taking these drugs and get off these drugs, in my opinion, you're never the same fighter. Let's look at, okay, Josh Barnett has never really fought to the level that he did. Maybe he didn't strike for us, but after he had gotten busted for you know, banned substances. Vitor Belfort, we don't know how he's going to be without testosterone. A lot of these guys, it's like, I think that they get a mental advantage. They think they have to take it. They get off of it, and then they start to doubt themselves. And that self doubt kills you, and I think I wonder how if that's going to happen with Cyborg.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think there's two things. One is, if you're taking steroids, why you're doing it is because you believe you can't win without it. Because if you thought you could win without it, what would be the point of taking it? Maybe failing a drug test, right? So you believe you can't win without it, and you quit taking it. So yes, psychologically you have that thing, and then you may have a record, but you know. If you've been taking a lot of time. So that's tainted too. And so I think she's got a disadvantage in that. And the other thing is, I've known Ronda since the day she was born. And that child is motivated by spite. And she holds a grudge. If Cyborg has any sense at all, no matter how much money they offer her, I would duck Ronda. Well, I wouldn't, because I'm crazy. But because Ronda will break her arm in half.
Yeah,
she holds a grudge.
Now, Ronda recently said, this is actually a question from Kirk from the Underground, that she could beat any girl in jiu-jitsu. She said she could beat any girl in jiu-jitsu. Gabby Garcia took her up on that offer. I don't know if you guys know Gabby Garcia. I think she weighs about 230. She was Wanderlei Silva's, that woman next to Wanderlei Silva. Yeah. She wants to take, I mean, I don't know if that's a fair fight, but do you believe that Ronda could beat any girl in the world in jiu-jitsu?
Yes. And one of the things about jiu-jitsu versus judo, and I've actually written a lot about this, jiu-jitsu and judo have different rules. And the thing about judo players and mat work, it's kind of like that poem by Longfellow about the little girl with a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. And when she was good, she was very, very good. And when she was bad, she was horrid. Most judo players are horrid at mat work. And if you judge judo players' mat work by the average judo player, you'll think any jiu-jitsu player could beat any judo player. Because most in judo, you can win by throwing somebody, you know, bam, right at the beginning, onset of the match. And many people focus on that. In judo, they only give you a few seconds to secure a technique, and then they stand you up. But the people who are good have mastered that transition in the air, many of them. And in jiu-jitsu, you don't have to do that. It's a different set of rules. And so it's not disrespectful to people in judo to say they play by a different set of rules. And if you learn by that way, it's not always to your advantage if you played somebody that came up by not the same set of rules as you. If you came up where you had to always, your whole life, be able to knock off a submission within a matter of seconds or show progress within a matter of seconds, then you're going to have an advantage over people who have had the leisure of taking their time. Now, in jiu-jitsu, you might say, and accurately so, that it's probably more representative of a real fight. In a real fight, they don't make you stand up every 3 seconds. But if you've trained that way, when you compete against somebody in jiu-jitsu, if you're good, you have an advantage.
So, all right, so you're standing by Ronda's claims. Because yes. A lot of jiu-jitsu world, like, gold medals and world athletes are want to take her up on that offer. And they want to fight her in Metamorphosis or, you know, grapple her in that. And, you know,
Well, she may do that. I don't know. Rhonda has a pretty full dance card. But I will say, when I started competing, there were no weight divisions for women. And that's why, and I was 103 pounds. And that's one of the reasons I got really good at arm bars. Because if somebody's 100 pounds heavier than you, you're an idiot to try and lift them up, right?
Right.
But if we get down on the ground and I can jump on your arm, it doesn't take that much to bend back, do a back bend on it, and you're done. So I think if you're really good at arm bars and chokes also, then it offsets some of the size advantage. But, yeah, all those things too. I mean, Rhonda has to be intelligent in the choices that she makes, because she has a huge number of options now, from movies to this person wants to fight her, that
person. Now, do you get worried, though? Like, because I know sometimes you see it with, like my buddy Mayhem Miller, who, a great fighter, and then he was on Bully Beatdown, and he started getting into that Hollywood bug. And I'm not going to pair Rhonda to Mayhem for obvious reasons, but there are, like, times where athletes get too involved in Hollywood. And if I'm doing movies and she's doing Entourage and Fast and the Furious, and I heard she has her own TV show coming out where she's going to star on a TV show, do you get worried that a girl who – she goes up against a girl who's just training, you know, who's doing nothing but training, is going to beat her because she's distracted and has all these things on her plate?
No. And I have always thought that idea that you could do nothing but train was not completely true. When it really irritated me when I see a lot of Olympic level athletes say, oh, you have to give me money because I can't train. Because, you know, I was an industrial engineer and a single mom and won the world championships. You can do it. You can't train 12 hours a day. Your body will break down. You know, wise person, you cycle. And I don't mean cycling in the drug sense. Right. I mean that you train really hard for certain periods, and then shortly before the fight, you or whatever event it is, you tend to taper off and let those little micro muscle tears heal up, and then you have your event, and then you take off a little bit and, you know, work on developing endurance or strength, and, you know, and heal up, and then you do it again. And also, when you train, you get up in the morning and you work out for a couple of hours, and then you rest, do whatever you do, do some movies, do some interviews, go work out for a couple more hours, and rest again. You don't train 6 hours a day. It's like Jim Pedro Sr. said, that working out is like sex. If it takes you longer than 2 hours, you're not doing it right.
Wow. Well, it's a good thing I've measured the 4-minute workout. now, all right. So the last thing. So Gina Carano, which I'm actually, in a way, happy she's not coming back, because I think Rhonda said she wanted to fight her next, and that fight would be huge, do huge numbers, but I think it would be a complete mismatch because Rhonda is so much, you know, she's been doing it. Gina takes 6 years off. You can't take 6 years off or 5 years off or whatever years off and come back. What are your thoughts on Gina Carano?
Well, that's what I was saying before about, and you said it was an unfair comparison, but that, and I don't even know how you say it, that Muay Thai fight,
yeah.
That woman supposedly took 5 years off.
Yeah.
And she won. So I think it's very difficult to do from personal experience. You take a couple years off, it's hard to come back. I did at one point, took a couple years off to go to graduate school and then came back and within a few months was number one in the U.S. again and winning international competition. So it's possible to do. I don't know enough about Gina Carano and the type of training she's been doing while she's laid off. If she's been going to the gym and training hard every day, then it's probably more feasible for her than if she's been, you know, sitting on the couch eating bonbon butts every day. And I have no idea. I still think Rhonda will beat her.
Right.
But how easy she will be to beat depends on what she's been doing the intervening time, and I just really have no idea.
And finally, do you ever get nervous when Rhonda's in there? I mean, how nervous do you get about? I know if I had a daughter and she's getting punched in the face, I would be scared shitless for her. I would be my heart would be racing. How nervous do you get as a mother while watching?
Oh
Rhonda?
My god, I get nervous, so nervous. I was telling one of the kids that she used to do judo with. His dad comes to a lot of the fights, and I said, you know, I really don't drink that much. And he said, you always say that, but every time I see you, you're like two martinis in. But I said, you always see me at her fights, you know.
Get drunk during her fights?
I usually have. Yeah, we have, my company always has a tweet up before the fight, which basically is because I'm always so nervous that I'm going to be drinking anyway. So our marketing person said, well, let's call it a tweet up and invite our customers and buy everybody wines.
Well, are you nervous? Well, come on. You shouldn't be getting drunk during Rhonda's fights. So you have to be – she needs you as far as full
– She knows what to do. And you know, I always see those coaches – if you go to an event and they're telling the athlete, do this and do that and do this. I went to something years ago. I was fighting in the Olympic festival, and the other woman's coach said, yo, I want you to do your tight turn. I want you to do this. And I want you to that. And he looks over at my coach, Jimmy Martin, and says, aren't you going to tell her to do anything? And Jimmy says, I had the last 6 months to tell her what to do.
Yeah, that's true. I would say that you shouldn't be. I mean, what if she loses? She's not going to want to have a slosh mom to go home to. I mean, I would, if I were you, I would curb the drinking. I mean, you don't need to get drunk.
Well, then she'll just have to not lose. And, yeah. You know, the thing I really worry about is anything can happen. You know, you could trip on the cage going in and hit your head and get a concussion. Those are more the, because I know she's trained right. It's just more the little freak accident things that I worry about.
All right. I would, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I mean, it would hurt Rhonda more if she lost just because it would just devastate her.
Oh, my God.
It's not the physical thing. I know. When she said she would die before she would give up, I mean, she meant it. She would just be devastated. So that's the thing I worry about.
And how does she deal mostly with all these annoying internet people, that all the haters for Rhonda? Does she read them or?
Not really that much. I mean, one of the things that she says is, whether you're paying to see me win or paying to see me lose, you're paying to see me. And thank you, anti-fans, for the money that, you know,
right,
let me buy my dog food this week.
Now, what's the best way for me to go out with her? Because I think we make a cute couple. I feel like you would approve of me. And I think
we have an actual job. So
I have a job. I'm funny.
Okay, well, so you can go through the interview.
I'm sort of handsome. You know,
did you go to college?
I went to 3 years of college. I went to SUNY Binghamton, which is a good school, and then Hofstra, and then Hunter. I didn't actually finish college.
You went to three different colleges.
Three different colleges. Didn't get a degree. But I've been doing comedy 15 years, been around the world. Training.
Have you been married before?
No, never been married.
That's a good thing.
Never married, never.
You don't have any extra children
No
around?
Kids. Nope, yeah, no kids. Thing. I have two cats and a dog.
You like dogs.
I like dogs. And I think I wouldn't even try to hook up with her until the third date. I think that would be good, right? It says no.
I take a lot more than 3 dates.
More than 3 dates. Okay, so you have to.
Do you want to get married and have children someday?
Yes. Okay.
The never wanting to have children, I think, would be a deal breaker.
No, I want to have kids. All right. I'll be very. I make her laugh. She may be. I mean, it's gonna be hard. Do I have to be able to beat her up? Because I feel like a guy has to be able to like beat up, not beat up, but like, I'm not a big guy. She can kick my ass.
Do you weigh more than her?
Yeah, 185. Not that I would physically beat her up. I'm saying you want a guy to protect
the
woman.
I don't think she would like a boyfriend that weighed less than her. You know?
Yeah, no, I'm about 175. You
know, like, I'm sure the guy that's in the super lightweight is really cool, and I saw his baby on Twitter who's just adorable, but still, I don't think Rhonda would go out with somebody.
No, I'm like, I'm like 175. I coach kids wrestling. I've been around the world.
Children.
I like children. So
do
I have your
church?
Approval. I'm Jewish. But,
you're Jewish.
Yeah, but I'm not religious, though. I'm definitely willing to convert as long as I get in there. No,
she had a boyfriend that was Jewish once, and he was evil. But you know what? We're not going to judge of the Jewish people in the world.
Yeah,
most
a lot of the Jews are employing her right now in Hollywood.
There's some really cool people that I know that are Jewish.
The Jews are great. Great people. I love the Jews. So, so what else do I need? You would approve of me as a going out with Rhonda.
I don't know if I would approve of you. I would disapprove of you less than some people.
I like that. I think that's a good start.
That's as close as you're going to get.
That's good. I'm better than some. That's good. I'm like, okay. So what do you think my percentage's chances of taking your daughter out? 60%? 70%? I feel like we have a bond. I met her once. And I asked her to help coach my like kids. And she looked at me and she's like, I'm a little busy right now. But she's 60.
She likes kids. I would say 5.
I have a 5%.
That's right.
There is a chance. I like it. 5%. That's good.
The making her laugh is a big point in your favor.
I'm in. Well, listen. It's an honor to have you on the show. Thank you for. Do you want to stay for the interviews? If our the Phil Baroni and Hector Lombard, you're more than welcome.
Well, no, actually, I have to because I have a real job.
You have a real job. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So, where can people find you?
Dr. Dr. Ann Maria on Twitter, and our company website is www.7, which is the number 7, generationgames.com. So you can kill things and get smarter.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. It's such an honor to have you on the show. All All right, so we have one of my favorite fighters in the world, one of the best fighters in the world. Hector Lombard is with us. He recently got injured with his fight versus Don Kim. How are you, Hector? How's everything going?
Right now, not so good because the injury that I'm suffering right now at the moment. But besides that, I'm okay.
What happened?
Well, I injured my neck, kind of like I went for a double leg, and it's sort of like I did basically a wrong move down there, and after I showed the double leg and my arm shows up, I couldn't move my arm, so I lost all the muscle of my left arm and my left chest and my left back. All that was gone. Man. Well, it's still gone anyway. So
how long are you out for training for?
I've been out of training for about 3 weeks, I think, I believe.
Damn. That sucks, man, because I was really looking forward to that fight. You know, I know
everyone was, to be honest, but what I can do.
Well, yeah, you got to be healthy. I mean, it's better than fighting injured. Some of these guys, they fight injured and then they lose and then they go out, well, I was injured. Well, then you shouldn't have took the fight, you know?
Yeah, trust me, it happened to me before, so I don't want to go through that again. I want to show up to the fight, not 100% healthy, because that's never happening in my career. But you know, those major injuries like that, I need to be careful with it, because I already fought with a sternum fracture and it wasn't fun.
It would have been a fight. It was supposed to fight. It would have been on a fight pass, and you know, in a way, I think that you should be on pay per view. Or one of these bigger shows, because I personally love Fight Pass. I like watching all fights, but I think everyone needs to see you. And plus, you're fighting a guy that was ranked way below you. So who do you want to fight now?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, I can get back to from the injury in the next 3 months, something like that. And I really want to fight Madonna. The Canadian guy.
Yeah, Rory McDonald.
Yeah, Rory. Really, really, really. I think that it's a fight that can be very excited to watch, because I gotta put the pressure on that kid, you know. Not many people putting the pressure on him, but me, Wolfie, going up there, I'll put the pressure on him. I'll break that kid. I'll break mentally and physically.
So you think, I mean, Rory looked great against your teammate, against Woodley. He looked amazing. Did that bother you that he beat Tyron? I mean, I know you and Tyron are like pretty close. Did you see like any holes in his game during that fight?
Well, I mean, he's obviously match up well with the guys that, you know, they don't put in the pressure on him. And I don't think that Tyron put enough pressure on him. And that was one of that was causing the fight.
Right.
So, but besides that, you know, I mean, like, Tyron is Tyron. We totally different fighters, so
right.
I don't know. Like,
now, so you think you're gonna mentally break Rory McDonald? You're gonna put a beating on him? Do you think you would stop him in the first round and knock him out, or you would just throw him around like you did Jake Shields, like a baby?
Well, Jake Shields believe it or not, he's a dangerous fighter, so you don't want to go over there and make a mistake, and then you know he make you look like a fool, like he done to so many good fighters. I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't be scared if he really takes me down or we go to the ground, I gotta get back to my feet again quick. And, you know, I believe my ground game is better than his. I believe my wrestling is better than his. So which is like with Jake Shields, I was a little bit concerned of, you know, ended up in the ground and ended up, you know, having that guy on top of me. Because he's really, really, really dangerous on top. I don't think that I would have that with Rory.
Now, we recently had Ben Askren on the show, and he said that it was his first day ever.
What did he say? What?
He said it was his first day sparring, and that.
Come on.
And that he said he would. He said he would beat you in wrestling, and that he
Wait. Hold on a second. I'll tell you one thing, Mike. If he says that he beat me in wrestling, he's a liar. Okay?
He said he beat you in wrestling.
And he's going, you know, for me, from now on, I got to call him Ben the Liar Asking. Because, I mean, come on, Mike. You know, I'm sick of these guys that go over there and they do things that they talk about, things that are not truth. I'm always saying the truth about every single thing that I've been through. You know, there's no reason why I have to lie. I don't know why this guy has to lie. Even this way, put it this way. And I have a lot of witnesses. I remember one day we were doing song appearancing on other shows out there. And he went and muck around with me. He shot the double leg. Yeah. And I joke to Mona and him. Jokotomo and I is like judo technique.
Yeah.
I landed on top of him. After he shot at me the double leg, I Jokotomo and I him. This is kind of like when somebody shoots the double leg and you kind of like you spilling the guy around and then you land on top.
Yeah.
And I told him, come on, man. It's all what you got. And everyone was looking like, oh, my God. How come you did that to him?
Well, according to him,
everyone was amazed. But I wasn't, because I've done it to him in training. I've done it to him all the time. And the only time that we're training is at wrestling. And submission, I've tapped him so many times. So, because he knows, he's so scared to stand up with me. You know, he had no chance in there. But wrestling and jiu-jitsu, I'm better. And I proved it to him.
Well, he said he would wrestle you for free in the art.
I can't care less. Look, right now I can't because I'm injured. And that's not fair. You set it up. Let's make some entertainment about it. Let's make the fans, you know, see how giving an ass whooping.
Well, he said in the Argon wrestling tournament, he would wrestle you for free and he would embarrass you.
Oh, yeah, the same way the Funor embarrassing at the Olympics, right?
I mean, that's what he said. I'm just relaying a message, man. I wasn't there. I don't know what the situation is.
So let me ask you a question. You're talking about a guy and not Funor with you, because you know, you kind of like Julie?
Yeah.
I need to use the phone. I'm on an interview. Can you wait a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, please, thanks. Can you put this in your phone? Hold on a second, because my phone had no charger. Mm-hmm. We're back in business. Hold on. Thank you.
Business.
So sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay.
Look, you're talking about that, and as I said before, you know, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're one of the best. You are one of the best in the game of interviewing people.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
But look, you're talking about a guy that. When have you seen a guy being the champion in the company that doesn't want him?
In Bellator.
He's the only one in history. He's the only one in history being the champion of the organization, and the organization kicked him out.
That's true. Well,
why? Because it's all boring. He has to go over there to Japan to get a job because nobody wants to employ this guy. He's unemployed. He was unemployed because he's boring. And then he has to leave the country being, you know, because it's being so boring. And his own company, the company that he was a champion, they didn't want him. Nobody wanted him.
I'm just.
So what is this guy talking about? What this guy? You want to get a name out of me or what?
I'm just saying though. He said because I mentioned to him that you said that you beat him in wrestling. He said that was false.
Oh yeah, all the time.
He said he'll wrestle.
And I say in his face, he knows it. I won't talk crap.
He said he'll wrestle you for free in Argonne. All right, so let's talk about the rankings. All right, I'm gonna list the rankings. You tell me how you're gonna beat him, and like what round? Johnny Hendricks.
I would love to stand that with him. So, I would love to stand that with him.
So you think you would knock out Johnny Hendricks?
Well, I didn't say that I would knock him out, but I would say, like, you know, I would love to stand that with him.
You'd love to stand up with him?
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. And then Roy McDonald, you think that you're going to break Roy McDonald. Carlos Condit, who's ranked third.
Why is he still at number third? Is he still number third?
Yeah, he's still ranked number third.
Is that a joke or what?
No, he's ranked number three.
How many times has he lost, man?
He's lost a couple times.
On the road? Like three times in a row?
He lost to Nick Diaz. No, he beat Nick Diaz. I thought he lost that fight. He lost to GSP.
Yeah, he lost that fight.
And then he lost to Woodley. They have him ranked number three.
He lost to ESP.
Yeah.
He lost to Nick Diaz. He lost, and then after he lost to GSP. And then before that, he lost against Johnny Hendricks. And then, who else did he lost to?
I think that's it so far. But so they have him ranked three for some reason. Woodley's your teammate, so we're not going to talk about him. Matt Brown.
I want to knock that fool up.
So, does it bother you that these guys are ranked ahead of you, though? Because it seems like your last couple fights,
Now I have an issue with with Matt Brown. I mean, the rest I can't care less, but I have an issue with Matt Brown.
What's your issue with Matt Brown?
You're not supposed to be there.
So, all right, I know that Matt Brown is fighting your teammate next, Robbie Lawler. How do you see that fight?
Oh, same shots. You know, the first time he's going to get knocked up.
How fast?
Quick.
All right, so let's go over the fights this weekend. Chris Weidman versus Machida. Who do you have?
Me. I would say one thing. I gotta go for the underdog in there, Mike, to be honest.
Lyoto?
Yeah.
You think he stops Weidman?
I would think so.
In a 5-round fight? I mean, Weidman's never been hurt. He's 11-0. He's never lost. Lyoto's lost 4 times.
I want to go for the underdog, man. I want to go for the little guy. I've always been the little guy, so I like the little guy in this one.
All right, Lyoto. I mean, the thing about Lyoto, he's a tough guy because it's hard to train against the guy because the guy's so he's so unorthodox.
I gotta go with the little guy.
All right, Ronda Rousey versus Alexis Davis.
Easy work for Ronda.
All right, 1 round, Ronda.
Easy work.
All right, Stefan Struve versus Matt Mitrione.
I might go with Matt Mitrione.
Yeah, I mean Struve's been out for over a year. He lost his last fight. He got knocked out by Mark Hunt. Matt won his last fight. He lost to Brendan Schaub, but I would say I want Struve to win, but I would have to go Mitrione too. Ugh, which is tough to call.
Yeah, I'm with you in that one.
Uriah Hall versus Thiago Santos.
Who is that guy?
Uriah Hall. He's the guy on The Ultimate Fighter.
I know Uriah. I don't know the other guy.
Thiago Santos.
Who is he?
He's a guy from Brazil, Moretta. He's 9-2, 185.
I gotta go with Uriah. I don't know the other guy, but I gotta go with Uriah.
All right, Uriah Faber versus Bruce Leroy.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Really?
Bruce Leroy is my teammate. Mike, I have to go with Bruce Leroy.
You're really? I mean,
my teammate.
But what if he wasn't your teammate?
I still go with Bruce Leroy.
All right. That's a. I think you're the only one going for Bruce Leroy. It seems like your eyes got to be.
I know.
All right. All right. All right.
Oh, you know, I mean, hey, don't get upset at me. We live in America.
I'm not getting upset. All right. Now, what are your thoughts on Chael Sonnen getting popped for HGH?
I love Chael, man. I have nothing wrong to say about that guy. I have no respect for him. And I'll tell you one thing. The guy's a genius. In general, he did the spoke, you know, at one point, to be honest. You know, he's a classic guy. He talks a lot of truth. Even though he's funny, though, he talks a lot of truth about it. And he's not the only one who's been, you know, getting caught with it.
Yeah, like, I think he's really bad at cheating.
Everyone is on his case right now because, you know, he talks sometimes a lot, but, you know, I mean, like, he's being honest about every single little thing that he took. Yeah. And, you know, he makes some sense on some points because, trust me, I was in the Olympic team, and if you drink a coffee and in 15 minutes, before 15 minutes, they test you, you gotta get test positive for caffeine. So, you know, he's been using that stuff, but it's not the only one. Hey.
Do you think he should have lost his job as a reporter? Because, I mean, it seems like human growth hormones is not gonna affect the way he talks and comments on fights. At the same time, it's like, you know, it's tough because the UFC kind of went to bat for him, and you can't have a guy who got caught trying to cheat.
I think that you made the right decision there because you have to protect your image, you know, as a company. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think if anyone is better than Chael, you know. I think Chael Sonnen is, you know, by far the best, you know, doing that, commentating fights and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, UFC has to, you know, protect the image. And
Yeah.
You're right what you say about, you know, it won't affect him, like commentating, you know, and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, look, let's suppose like you walk on TV, okay? You walk on TV and you beat up a kid in the street, you know? That have nothing to do with your work, but he has something to do with your image and the image of the company that employs you. So if you do been doing some wrong things out there, you know, obviously it's not good for the company that you work for if you are still employed by it. So I think that UFC did the right thing on that because that affect the image of the company. Hey. And you want to be clean as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it both ways. I mean, I could see it because, number one, I understand it's protecting the image. At the same time, you look at guys like Jim Lampley, domestic violence. Marv Albert bit some girl. Ray Lewis was involved in some type of stabbing. He got cleared, but still, he was somehow involved in it. Charles Barkley got a DUI. I mean, you know, Chael was attempting to cheat because he was off TRT. He needed and she probably shouldn't, you know. It was one of those things where I understand it, and I understand that, you know, when you have a job and you have to protect your image. At the same time, I like Chael; he's a friend of mine, so it's a tough situation. And I could see it both ways. I would be lying if I said that I couldn't see both ways.
You're right, right. And going back of what you're saying about Charles. DUI, you know, it's not like a serious offense. But I'm not saying that, you know, getting caught with a Royce or stuff like that is an offense either. But the sport is trying to clean up all that image of you know, or people using steroids and stuff like that. So if you're gonna have a guy commentating on your show, you indirectly you're supporting that type of stuff if you allow the guy to work for your company.
Yeah,
that's all my opinion. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Well, Hector, man, it was a pleasure having you on the show. By the way, I heard you have a new girlfriend.
No.
Oh, no girlfriend. Oh, that's what I heard. That was the word on that was the word on the street.
You know, never believe what's going on around. Believe what I tell you.
Okay. All right. So you don't have a new girlfriend. All right, Hector. Oh. Hector, man, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I hope you get that Rory McDonald fight. I think you're gonna win. I know you're gonna win. Love to have you on soon, man. And you're the best.
Okay, brother. You know, thank you so much for the interview. Speak to you soon.
Take care, brother.
Make sure they've been asking, make that fight happen, Mike. Because I probably gonna go ended up, showing up at his gym and beat him up a bit.
Okay. I will let him know that.
Get better.
Okay.
All right, brother.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right, that was Hector Lombard. Always a pleasure to talk to Hector Lombard. Guys, thank you, Dr. Anna Maria, for coming on the show. Thank you, Hector Lombard. Thank you, Fox Sports. I apologize for being late. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having me on your show, on my own show. Now, I'm going to be in Vegas this week. I'm headlining Bally's every night of the week starting tonight. I'm driving there right after the show. And we are going to have a booth at the convention center. So we're going to be interviewing fighters there. Hopefully we're going to get some hot chicks there, some ring girls, some fans will come over, say hi to us at Fight Weekend, International Fight Weekend in Vegas. I can't wait. Thank you, DJ Shrope. Thanks, T-Rex and Ellenberger, who aren't here today, but thank you anyway for being in my life. Adam Comedian, MMA Roasted on Fox Sports. Take care. Bye-bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.